This morning, our scripture lesson is taken from Romans chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, or you may look up on the screen and follow along the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Early on in our lives, someone, I suspect, may have asked you the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Do you remember when they asked you that? And they didn't do that just once. It seemed like invariably that's what adults say to us when we're young. Hi, little girl. What do you want to be when you grow up? It seems kind of simple in a way. But after you hear it 20 or 30 or 50 times, you begin to wonder yourself, what do I want to be when I grow up? And a few years go by and we go through school, and then the question changes, what do you want to do after school? And we make plans, don't we? We do things. Some of us plan for more school, and some of us plan for military service, and some of us go to parts of the world where the U.S. government wants us to go. And then after a while, the question that we were asked when we were maybe 8 years old or 10 years old changes to, now what do you want to do after school? What do you want to do when you're through your military service? What are you going to do? What do you really want to do? And a few years go by, and some people get to this question in their 30s or 40s or 50s. Unfortunately, there may be some of us who have never answered this question for ourselves. What do you want to do now? Now that you're at this point in life, what do you really want to do now? And I bring this up because, as Michelle said, this is Labor Day weekend. This day was set aside by Congress in 1894 to recognize the social and economic achievements of the labor movement. And we're grateful for all those who've been involved in working in this world. And I think it is safe to say that it's appropriate that we pause and express appreciation for the opportunity to work. Surely we can be grateful for work in the church. And so it's interesting to me that when Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome, some say he's preparing for a mission outpost, not to the eastern end of the Mediterranean, but for farther west, maybe into Spain. And so he shares the gospel, and then at chapter 12, he begins to apply the good news of Jesus Christ in ways that the church can live out. And he speaks to them on the basis of the mercy of God. That's what we first heard. And he says they are to present themselves before God as a living sacrifice. Now, you're aware he's a good Jew, remembering what happens in the temple. You know that small lambs would be brought to the temple by each family so that the sins of the family would be forgiven, and the priest would take that lamb and kill it and burn it on the altar of the temple. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, so they believed in the Old Testament. And so Paul is remembering that and saying, present yourselves to Almighty God as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship. In a way, that's what we're doing here. You are giving up some of your time this Sunday morning, in a way, as a living sacrifice. He also tells them not to be programmed to follow the agenda of this world like some robot. He says that to discern God's will, we have our minds renewed so that we begin to understand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, this morning I want to speak to you about the next thing he talks about. The next thing he speaks of is spiritual gifts. He's encouraging the church in Rome to be a church with the help of everyone's God-given interest. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase or heard someone speak about spiritual gifts. If you were to comb the New Testament, you would find the whole business of spiritual gifts in three places, in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 12, and here in Paul's letter to the Romans. The lists are not all exactly the same, but I have come to believe that all of us, every one of us, not only those four young people that came forward, but all of us have special interests and gifts that are unique, given to us by God. For example, some people are gifted in preparing food. Now, you know that, right? Some people can't boil water, but some people know how to prepare baked beans. Dick's talking about somebody bring the beans. That's a good idea. And some people can do beans and some people can't. Right. Some people do chips really well and bring good dip with it, by the way. Some people can stand up and lead us in music, such as these wonderful folks here who do this every Sunday morning. And some people can't carry a tune in a barrel. I have come to understand that spiritual gifts are the things that we love to do, that we have dedicated to God. I once heard an Episcopal priest at a conference explain, he was teaching on spiritual gifts, and this woman came to him and said, I don't think I have any spiritual gifts. And he said, yes, you do. And they sat down in his office, and he said, what do you love to do? And she said, you're going to laugh. I love to set a nice table. And he chose not to laugh. And then he said, what I want you to do now is be willing to go out and dedicate that to God and pray about what you might do with that gift. Six weeks later, she came back and she said, I've decided what I want to do. I want to set a nice table in our parish hall and make available a dollar lunch for all comers. This day at the Episcopal Church in Darien, Connecticut, they are still having family table because this woman identified the fact that she loved to set a nice table. So none of us should ever say that we are not gifted. We are. In the letter to the Ephesians, the author writes, the gifts that God gave were, and he named them, and then he said, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. The purpose of knowing and using our spiritual gifts, the things we love to do to the glory of God, is for the building up of the church. The building up of the ministry of the church so that we can be one in Jesus Christ and we can continue his ministry and we can grow to the full stature that is ours in the church in Jesus Christ. I know a church in Ohio, for example, that has the picture of every person in the congregation on a wall somewhere. And so if you go and stand there and you look, you would see pictures that have captions. This is Stan Carmichael. He is a judge during the week. His spiritual gift is being a teacher to 7th and 8th graders during their confirmation class experience. Or here's one. Here is Jane Selden. She teaches biology during the week. She has particular compassion and mercy for older shut-ins, and so she cares for them and visits them. Here is Carol Womack. She is a receptionist at a wellness center during the week, but she is an advocate for the oppressed and for people who have been treated unjustly in this world. And so she is a worker on their behalf. The entire church has every member's picture with everyone identified in terms of their day job and their spiritual gifts. Now, just imagine if we put your picture up on the wall, what would be your spiritual gifts? I'm saying it's not easy to know what our spiritual gifts are. Sometimes a mother or father or somebody else has told us in the church what we have to do. Sometimes in life, someone has told us what we have to do. And our opinion and our interest and the things we are passionate about and love to do aren't even considered. Parker Palmer is an educator who's written a book entitled Let Your Life Speak. And he tells the story of his own struggle to figure out what it was that he loved to do. And so he created a clearness committee. That's something that the Quakers have thought up. The Quakers will suggest, if there's an important decision to be made, for there to be a committee of 6 or 7 or 8 people sitting around a person who sits in a chair in the middle. And they cannot offer their opinion. What they do is ask questions. Well, Parker Palmer did this. He was an educator at a small college, and he was nominated for the role of the president of the college. And it was quite an honor. I mean, it was a big deal. And so he sat in the middle of the circle, and they began to ask him all kinds of questions. And then they got to one question, and the question was, what would you like most about being a president? And the question stopped him in his tracks. And he said to them, I don't know. And someone said, well, why don't we take a break? And so they went away and took a break. People went to the bathroom and got water and got coffee and came back in about 20 minutes. And while they were away, it came to Parker Palmer why he wanted to be the president of a small college. They all came back and sat down, and he said, I've identified for myself why I really want to do this. And they said, what is it? He said, I want to get my picture in the college's magazine so that under the picture there'll be my name and the title, president of this college. And all of them laughed. And he realized then and there that was not a good enough reason for him to be the president of the college. Parker Palmer remained an educator, remained a person that writes books and helps people understand what is happening in their lives. Paul offers this word of wisdom to the church of Rome. He tells them to be careful how they think about themselves, how they think about their spiritual gifts. He says that they may well be tempted to believe that they are more gifted than they really are. He says to think with sober judgment. I also believe he misses the point because there's some people who think too little of who they are and what they've been given. And you and I know what that's like, because sometimes people say to us, you know, you're really gifted in, and they will finish the sentence. And sometimes you and I may say, oh, no, we're not. That's not a gift of mine. But it is. And we need to listen to what people tell us they believe our gifts are. So Palmer, the educator, writes this book, and he says, our deepest calling in life is to grow into our own authentic selfhood, whether or not it conforms to some image of who we ought to be. He says, there are at least two ways to understand the link between selfhood and service, and one is offered by the poet Rooney. Quote, if you are here unfaithfully with us, you're causing terrible damage. And if you're unfaithful to true self, we will extract a price from others. We will make promises we cannot keep, build houses with flimsy stuff, conjure dreams that devolve into nightmares, and other people will suffer if we're unfaithful to true self. If someone has told us what to do, and we're doing it because they told us, we may be unfaithful to our true selves. And so Paul rightly, when he's writing to a church that he does not know personally, he encourages them to identify what they passionately love to do, what their interests are, so that those gifts can be dedicated to Almighty God for the upbuilding of the church, for their maturity in Christ. Now, this book by Parker Palmer is not a faith book. But it, however, is a wise account of one educator's convictions and experiences related to vocation and what people truly love to do. He writes about Rosa Parks. You remember Rosa Parks? She was the woman in the 1950s in Alabama who refused to get out of her seat when there were people getting on the bus. And the bus driver told her, get out of your seat. And she refused because the seats were reserved for white people and Rosa Parks was not a white person. Well, she was arrested, and the arrest by some has been claimed to be the very start of the civil rights movement. She said, and then I quote Rosa Parks, she said that she had decided, I will no longer act on the outside in a way that contradicts the truth I hold deeply on the inside. I will no longer act as if I were less than the whole person I know myself inwardly to be. Parker Palmer claims this is precisely the issue for all of us, whether we're 8 years old or 78 years old. Too often we follow someone else's expectations and plans for us. Sometimes we do something vocationally or professionally because someone else has said, this is what you're going to do. For example, take John Calvin, a figure in history that was responsible for creating the Presbyterian Church. John Calvin was a young French schoolboy, and his father wanted him to be a lawyer. And he was that up until early in his 20s. And his father died. And when his father died, he realized he had the freedom now to do what he truly believed he needed to do. He wanted to go be part of the Reformation movement. And he went to Geneva, Switzerland, where he joined William Farrell. And in Geneva, he wrote his theology called the Institutes of the Christian Religion. John Calvin then led a group that was attended by John Knox, and John Knox went off to Scotland, and the Presbyterian Church was formed in Scotland and eventually came across the Atlantic to the United States. Because John Calvin was not an attorney in France, he did the thing that he knew was in his heart and life to do. This church is doing many good things. And I suspect there are more for us to be doing, but I believe it is in our best interest to begin wondering what our spiritual gifts are. And I would simply ask you, what is it that you love to do? What are your interests? What are the things that you find yourself truly enjoying in life? I really believe there are many of us that have never seriously considered that question. Sometimes we might need help from a clearness committee like Parker Palmer experienced, but already many of you are divided up into small groups and you have a clearness committee around you on a regular basis. So use those people that know you and love you and are close to you to inquire, what do you think my gifts are? What do you want to do now? That's the real question, no matter how old you are. I'm convinced that all of us have a purpose in this life as long as we draw breath. I remember once Georgia and I were in New York City, and we were going to the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. And we went to this church. Here we are, way in the north, far away from North Carolina. I was attending Princeton Seminary. The two ushers that came down those steps to greet us made the two of us feel like we had come home. Clearly, they knew what to say. Clearly, they were at ease with people. Clearly, they were gifted in the whole business of hospitality and welcoming people into the life of the church. Too often, few people do too much of the work and others are not engaged. It would occur to me that for the life of the church, any church, not just this church, but for any church to be alive and thriving, we all may discern gifts that God has given us. And there's one message here. If you've wondered, what's the message? The message is out there on the marquee. Let your life speak. Let your gifts speak. Let your faith speak through the things you care about and your interest and your passions. And as we authentically identify our gifts and offer them to Almighty God, God can perhaps take this church to a new level of service with one another and our neighborhood and our world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.